I wanted to spend this first little time looking at the remarkable statement that the Lord Jesus makes after Nicodemus is silenced. Nicodemus has been brought before the Lord, and he, like his Pharisaical friends, has continued to say, "We know." And if you read the rest of John's Gospel, you'll see that they keep saying, "We know, we know," all the way through to the end. In fact, right at the very end, 3 years later, they're still saying, when they come to trap the Lord Jesus Christ regarding the coin with Caesar's mark on it, they say, "We know, we know, you, we know." When they came with compliments, "We know that you're a teacher and you hold no man's face in esteem," and yet now the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in verse 11, and he says, "I say unto thee, we speak what that we do know, and testify that we have seen." That word testify is the word from which we get our word martyr. These are truths which the people of God are prepared to die for. It's as simple as that. These are so foundational and fundamental. We know, we know, we know. There are several questions that necessarily arise from that statement. Who's the we? Well, in the scriptures, the great ones that testify of who the Lord Jesus Christ are the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and that's what 1 John says. And if we turn, hold your Bibles open in 1 John, we'll see that 1 John uses this phrase over and over again. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. Jesus will go on, won't he, and say, "I've told you of earthly things, and you believe not." They are the earthly things, some of the earthly things that Nicodemus, that the Lord was going to teach Nicodemus. So the we obviously refers to the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. The we no doubt refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets. He came in fulfilment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. The we may well be, of course, John the Baptist and I, that remarkable testimony that happened beside in the Jordan River when God the Father spoke and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And John the Baptist bore witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he bore witness to these people that came from Jerusalem. He said, "I saw heaven open, and I saw the Spirit of God descending upon the Son of Man, and it remained on him." And that was the witness. And behold, the Spirit's testimony is, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So there's a testimony of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the we might also refer to me and my disciples here with me. I brought down these people. I brought down half a dozen of them at least from the Jordan and from Capernaum. Philip and Andrew and John and James and Nathaniel. And we're here. We're here. We have a testimony, don't we? We have a testimony. We know and testify what we have seen. They testified to what they saw at the Jordan. They testified to what they saw at the wedding in Canaan. But also, there's a we know. You stay in 1 John with me in chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, there's a we know that includes all of us. When the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of we can include ourselves in it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is in his Son." So the we is a reference to all those things. It's a reference to what we know. It's a reference to what the children of God are taught. That's why that verse in John chapter 6 is so important. They're taught of the Father, they hear of him and they learn of the Father, and they come to me. They come to me, the one that's revealed by the Spirit blowing. The wind blows and you hear the sound of what thereof. There is an effect of the wind. There's an effect of the wind here now, and it's going to be annoying if it gets any stronger. We might have to stop and close the blind. But there is an effect of the Spirit blowing. There's an effect that we can then turn round and with the Lord Jesus Christ we can say, we know. The Spirit, as we saw earlier in John chapter 3, comes with absolute sovereign power and authority and purpose, and he comes with a perfect will and a purpose, and he comes to reveal a perfect Saviour. So if you have your Bibles open in 1 John chapter 2 with me, I wanted to go through some of these remarkable verses about the things that we know, but before we go there I wanted to remind you that we have these scriptures before us, and John has written these scriptures so that we might know that things that he has written are true. This disciple testifieth of these things that he has heard, these things that we are reading here, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John tells us why we're reading this gospel of his. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. There are things that we know. Luke begins his gospel by saying that there are things that we know for sure. He writes to Theophilus. I love how he begins. He says, "For as much as that many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us," Luke 1:1. They were surely, most surely believed among us. And he says in verse 4, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." That word certainty means safety. That you might know the safety of the things that you have heard. So let's turn to 1 John and let's read some of these remarkable promises about the we know. Nicodemus is held up before us as someone who comes to the Lord Jesus with a we know, just like the religious world today. They thought they knew things. They thought they knew enough to be able to assess who John the Baptist was and make a judgment about him. They thought that they could assess the Lord Jesus Christ and make a judgment about him. But we know. The children of God know. Nicodemus had to be brought to a place where he didn't know anything. And he just says, how? How can these things be? He was brought to a place where he needed to be taught by God. And if we're brought to that place, oh, what a blessing it is. So let's read some of these remarkable promises. In verse 3 of John, 1 John chapter 2, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Anyone here kept his commandments? Let's turn over to First John chapter 5, so we're really clear about what it is to keep these commandments. No, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight." Is John talking about his own personal activities here? He's talking about himself in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And do those things which are pleasing in his sight, and this is his commandment." This is the commandment of God now, isn't it? "That we should believe on the name of his Son." We should believe on the character of the Son of God as revealed in the scriptures, as revealed in his own testimony to Nicodemus, as revealed in all of the New Testament witnesses of him. And we change nothing about it because we delight. We delight in his character as it's revealed. We can't stand the thought of his name being changed, his character being changed. And that's what the essence of all false religion is, isn't it? That's what happened in the garden. Satan's attack at the beginning, before Eve fell, was to cause her to be challenged about the character of God, about the faithfulness to his word, his goodness to her. In that remarkable place, Satan, in that place where she had everything that you could ever wish for in this material world, Satan challenged her about the very goodness of God, that he's withholding something from her. And he was ultimately caused her to be challenged about the judgment and the justice and the holiness of God. And that's why these we knows are so important, aren't they? That we keep his commandment. You see, in 1 Timothy 1:8 it says, we know that the law is good. This cannot be talking about law keeping. It's never talking about law keeping. No matter what the religious world says, it's not about law keeping. But we know, 1 Timothy 1:8, we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Because the law, knowing this, this is what we know, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. For those who have a righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, the law is the Christ is the end of the law. He's the termination of the law for righteousness. He's as far as the law goes. The law comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and finds in him complete and utter satisfaction to all of its demands, both in what has to be done and both in the punishments. He's the end of the law for righteousness. It's a we know, isn't it? Paul says in Romans 7:14, he says, we know that the law is spiritual. Everyone that wants to put other people under a bondage of law-keeping always takes the law as a carnal ordinance. But Paul says, I know it's spiritual. He didn't know it was spiritual. He thought he kept it perfectly. The law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. Do you know that? Only God the Holy Spirit teaches these things. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2, and you can see why this we know that John's Gospel is such a significant we know, and it's used in so many, many other times. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. We hold his word, don't we? We hold his word above all things. It is life to us, these promises of God. We know. We know about this world, don't we, in 1 John and 2 John, 1 John 2:18. We know. It's the last time. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. These are the last hours for this earth to be here. It's the last time. We know about this world. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that this is the last hour. And these verses that we often quote in 1 John chapter 3 are just amazing, aren't they? Let's read from the beginning. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Don't expect the world to understand what you believe. Don't expect the world to understand who you are. Don't expect the world to understand the Christ that you proclaim. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is. We know. In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments. So we kept the commandments in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were in him when he kept them. He alone could say of those Pharisees, can you accuse me of any sin? Even Pilate declared to him to be a righteous man. He perfectly obeyed the law for us and in us. And because of his great love for us. Listen to what he says. He that keepeth, verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Hereby we know. Do you know these things? We know. 1 John 4:13. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We know that we dwell in him. He is our abiding place. He is our home. He is our all in all, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Chapter 5, verse 2. Let's go back to verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is, as we saw earlier, this is the record that God has given. He's given a record of his son. He's given a testimony of his son. He's borne a witness to his son. And not to believe that witness is to be disobedient, which is why Paul can speak of disobeying the gospel, to remain in disobedience. And then I love what he says in verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What a remarkable promise. You bring your petitions before God, don't you, child of God? In fact, we're always pleading people, aren't we? We're always coming with weeping and supplication, as Jeremiah promised that we would. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Do you know that? The only people who know it are people who know themselves to be nothing but sin. The only people who know it are those who are born of God. He sinneth not. We know that we are of God, verse 19, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know, verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We know. How do we know? We know. How do we know? Well, there are three fundamental things to knowing, isn't there? We know because God said it. People used to have stickers on their fridges years ago, isn't it? God said it. I believe that settles it. What a load of rubbish. God says it, that settles it. Your believing and my believing in it doesn't change it at all, one tiny little bit, doesn't it? God reveals it. We know because God revealed it to us. We know. We know because God has spoken, but we also know because God has revealed it to us, and he's revealed his word to us. And that's what Nicodemus's problem was. Nicodemus knew the Bible in the most remarkable ways, and we would have been embarrassed by our ignorance in his presence when he was teaching people. But God reveals things by his Spirit. That's why I love that verse, and it's a great comfort to anyone who ever has the privilege and the responsibility and, in a sense, almost a terror of speaking before men on God's behalf. But they will all be taught of God. All of God's children will be taught of God. But as we saw from all of those we knows, we know because God has spoken. We know because God has revealed his word to us. And we know because we've experienced it. Ralph Barnard made a statement a long time ago, and he was asked, "Do you believe everything in the Word of God?" And of course his answer was, "Yes, I do." But he said, in another sense, "No, I don't, because I haven't experienced it." God actually takes his Word and they become spirit and life to his people. We know because God has spoken it. We know because he has revealed it in his word. We know because we've experienced it. We've experienced it because all of God's children have had a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, like Nicodemus had. They've come to the Lord Jesus Christ in their Adam flesh, haven't they? They've come as sinners in their Adam flesh, and they always come with a we know. That's what we got in the garden, didn't it? We ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we come with a we know. And we come with this, we can make a judgment on God. We come with a we know about ourselves. Nicodemus had to be brought to a place and brought down to a place where he knew absolutely nothing about himself, and he knew nothing about God. And he didn't have a clue who was standing before him. We know. Nicodemus knew the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. And now 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "We know no man after the flesh any longer." We know him. We know him. Let's turn back to where we began this part of our service in Isaiah chapter 54. And of course Isaiah 54 follows after the remarkable declarations of the Lord in Isaiah 53. "He shall see the travail of his soul, and he'll be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And how is this received? "Sing. Sing, O barren. Thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife." Have you been desolate? Sin and Satan and this world made you desolate. He goes on to say, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stake. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit." See, Nicodemus had none of these until he was brought to a place saying, "How can these things be?" and a wife of a youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And then he says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is of me. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the peace that he brings as his righteousness comes. See, religion is a heart matter. God says, speak to the heart of my people. And I can't do it. I only have words. But God can speak to the hearts of his people and give them, as Paul says in Romans, the joy and the peace of believing. Believing God. So that's what faith is, isn't it? It's taking God at his word, just believing what God says. It's much more than just believing in him. It's believing God, believing what he said, believing his word, believing on the declarations he makes about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, believing that he is the surety, believing what he says about us, that we are desperately in need. You see, throughout the scriptures, the children of God call upon him. When they know him, they call upon him. When they know him, as he says in John 6:45, they come to him. And to come to him is to leave other things behind, isn't it? To come to him is to be drawn by a sovereign hand of God. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself, and you'll come drawn. See, it's the operations of the Spirit of God, isn't it, to revive the dead bones, to come to us in our deadness and give us life. We know Romans 8:28 is known so well, but I love the verses that precede it. Romans 8:28, we keep quoting it all the time, but Romans 8:26 is a remarkable verse, isn't it? Likewise, the Spirit, it also helpeth our infirmities. He helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Is that your situation? How many of our prayers are shallow and short-sighted? And how many of our prayers are faithless? What a great mercy it is that as we come before him in prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ is there interceding. And what's he interceding with? He's saying, this is it. I've borne all their sins and they're gone. So the Holy Spirit can help us with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is here with his people. And he's there in heaven interceding for us. And the Spirit is making intercession according to the will of God. And what's the will of God? That you might believe on his Son. And we know that all things work together. In fact, in reality, it means all things are worked together for good. We know that all things are worked together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Do we know these things? Happy are you if you know them. Peace is in knowing them. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's all finished. It's all cast as a finished work. Everything that God does is finished from the foundation of the world. Who can say? What shall we say then, if we know these things, what shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Nicodemus came with a we know. The Lord Jesus Christ replied with a we know. And the rest of the New Testament is a declaration of the things that are given, aren't they? So Nicodemus didn't know. Nicodemus didn't know who he was. Nicodemus didn't know who he was talking to. Nicodemus didn't know that all spiritual blessings that Almighty God has for the sons of Adam are in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings you can have, they're kept in heaven. They're in. They were standing in front of him as he was speaking. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus didn't know that these spiritual blessings become ours by a union with the Lord Jesus Christ, as the branch bears fruit because it remains in the body, as the body has life because the head lives. We're kept in a living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know these things. Nicodemus didn't know that all spiritual blessings are grace gifts, that nothing of our works, good or bad, impinges upon the grace of God, because they're all given us because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus didn't know that this union and all of these blessings and the reality of who he is and the reality of who the Lord Jesus Christ is only revealed by a new birth. We're heirs of God because we are sons of God. Nicodemus didn't know that this new birth is by the sovereign will of God. It just blows where it wishes. And these, the Lord will go on to tell Nicodemus, are the foundational, fundamental, essential truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are hidden from the wise and prudent, and they're revealed to babes. Nicodemus had to be made a babe. Babes know. They know something of their dependence. They know something of their nothingness. May the Lord cause us to come as little children and come away being people who know, because he has revealed who he is to us. Let's have a break.